first reading for today is from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then take my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Mercy and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. You may have heard the story before. I may have told the story before years ago that I've known about a psychology professor who had no children but would frequently criticize his neighbor as he was raising his child. And he would express, as the child had done something and the father was about to rebuke him, he would say, "You should love the boy, not punish him." And time after time over years, as this child was there next door, they see something going on, the father would start to yell at the child or go to spank him or send him to the house, and he would yell out from the driveway next door, "You should love the child, not punish him." And then it came about one day that this professor had come home from work, and it had been a long day, and he was very tired and feeling a little grumpy, and they had had some work done in front of his house. There had been some folks that had just left from laying a brand new sidewalk in front of his place, and a boy from down the street was there, and he was stomping nice big footprints in the nice wet still cement. As everyone was gone, he's leaving the footprints now behind, and the prof sees him, and he goes over to him, and he takes him, and he holds him back, and he starts to reprimand the boy and yell at him. And from next door, the neighbor who had raised his kid for all those years and heard it, he yells at him, "You should love the boy, not punish him." To which the professor yelled back, "I do love him in the abstract, but not in the concrete." That's the way we have with our loving. We have too much trouble at times loving. We love in the abstract but not in the concrete. We love in general but not in particular. We love in theory but not in practice. And God calls us to love. If you look in things like Bartlett's familiar quotations, you get all those nice little sappy sayings about love, like love means never having to say you're sorry. Really, love means probably saying you're sorry a lot more. I'm sorry. Love means having to say you're sorry a lot more so that we keep the relationships going as we should. You know, that's a four-letter word for some, but it's an important word. The dictionary definitions. Now, my dictionaries are a little bit older than the modern dictionaries I recognize now, but my dictionary, when I looked up the word love, it says, love is a noun. It says, a strong or passionate affection for a person of the opposite sex. Right there we see that my dictionary is dated, because that's not the way we describe it in modern day society now, and it's changed, I'm sure, in the dictionaries and certainly online now. But love as a noun is where I want to key from in that idea, because certainly that aspect is not fully correct, at least not by the love that God gives us, because God's love is shown to be as a verb. I had a professor back at SEM that used to teach that way regarding all the things that God did. God loves through his actions. God shows his redemption through his actions. Everything God does is about actions. And we say with love that, you know, the actions may speak louder than words at times, but it's through our hearts, and love is something that we can't really express in just actions. It's a feelings, but God would express it in actions, as he does all things. Everything God does to show who he is for us and what he does for us, it's all a matter of actions. It's all verbs. God works through the verbs, and love is a verb too, because Christ shows his love for us and what he did for us in his sacrifice for us. Love is given to us as something that we are called to be a part of, and unlike a noun, a person, place, or thing, that verb is that action, that doing something, that being something, and even at times linking things together. Love comes to us in how we receive from others their actions for us, and love goes out from us in the things that we do for others. Love is about doing, not just about being. You can't just be in love. You show you're in love. You emote it in some way, but it's more than emotions. You feel it, but it's more than feelings. It's something that has to be expressed, or it's not truly love, at least by the way God gives it to us. A loving mother does not need to have a book, a handbook, a definition given to her, or take a class on how to love a child that she gives birth to. It's pretty much just there. A mom knows when she gives birth to this baby, there is, and as long as everything is right in our hearts and our minds, love is there. Without question, without any concern for others' perspectives, without having to study, to take a class on, to get a grade in, you know how to love. And you show that love. That's like the love that God gives to us. When he gives us that life, he gives us his love. It's not something that God had to think about or create. God is love. And so God to show that love to us as part of his creation is just being God. For Christ to show us his love through his life, through his ministry, through his suffering, through his death, and in through his resurrection, he showed his love for us as his people. Jesus showed his love by fulfilling the law, something that we couldn't do. He did those things that we couldn't do. God comes to us and gives us love. And he calls us now to go out and to show his love to the rest of the world. In fact, in the passage before us from Philippians, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, if any of this from God's love for you, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. One person quipped, to love the world for me is no chore. My trouble is loving the person next door. And that's where it hits the road for us. Because there are people that we don't really like. There are people that we downright dislike. How are we going to love them with a Christ-like love? I mean, we get extremes in Scripture where we actually kind of brought this up to a degree in men's Bible study yesterday, and I know, guys, I'm still breaking the code. What's said there is supposed to stay there, but this was not one of those secretive things that we talk about and pray about in men's Bible study. Guys, if you want to know, every Saturday morning, library, we're there. But we kind of dwelt just briefly on the question, well, what about when do we know that we should be praying for somebody and loving them versus like even takes place in the Old Testament, you know, King David. There at times, instead of praying for God to forgive these people, he prayed that they would have a severe case of intestinal struggles for a while. No, he didn't. You know, That would be nice. You know, pray for some gastrointestinal problems for our enemies instead of praying for them to come to Christ. But no, David asked for him to be smote. Just go ahead and crush them, Lord. Destroy my enemies. Obliterate them. Take care of them. I mean, if David can pray that way, can't we pray that way too? Not if we're going to be fully Christ-like. Not if we're going to love like Christ did. Because, and think about this, and this might be taking you beyond a thought that you've had in the past too. Jesus, as God, came to love the world. But he didn't get along with everybody. Remember that. There are folks he called fools. There were those he reprimanded. There were those he sent away. There were people who he would love, but in love he had to reprimand and to chastise at times, to get downright angry with some folks, to get their attention. And we may not like everybody around us too, but we are called to, like Christ, desire that they would come to him. And whether that's the person that we have a disagreement with and they're just frustrated with the way that we're having to deal with them and they're not listening to us and they're not changing their ways, or the person overseas in charge of country X that is persecuting people and killing people, do we have to love them? Well, we love them with Christ's love. And that's that we desire that even that terrible, horrible person would come to Jesus. They're going to face consequences for their sin. We all are. We face consequences for our sin all the time in our life. And we will all face that ultimate consequence for sin, death. But we're in the midst of that, recognizing those consequences for the sins and what they've done. We're also to ask for God to change them and to forgive them. And boy, did we not get an incredible example of that this week, just right on down the street in Dallas. It was in the news. People put it on social media. They've written about it in all kinds of ways already, by a young man whose brother was killed by a police officer, who in the court said to the convicted police officer that he forgave her and that he just wanted her to know Jesus, and that Jesus would forgive her too if she would come to him. What an amazing example of Christ's love, of a Christ-like love, of someone who did as the passage tells us, and to make the Lord's joy complete, had that like-minded love of Christ to go out and to forgive someone who had done what is the worst thing in this young man's life to this point, to take his brother away. And then, wow, by example, the judge, dumbfounded by this action herself initially, does the right thing too, and in that Christ-like love realizes if this person who was truly wronged can give that forgiveness, then who am I not to forgive as well? And comes down from that bench and gives a Bible to the police officer and shares a word of scripture from that Bible and a prayer for her. Wow. Powerful examples we have of Christ's love in that Christ-minded love given just in our examples from Dallas this week. And if they're so willing to give, to forgive, then who are we that we should do any less? Even if somebody has wronged us personally in the worst way imaginable in this life, should we not forgive them and seek that they would know Christ's forgiveness as well? A Christ-minded love, an example. I had this sermon planned before any of that took place, and I was like, thank you, Lord, for the example. Wow, you're doing your work, God. Thank you. This is perfect. And I can't imagine too many pastors, at least not in our area, that go without mentioning that today, because it is God in action through those that you would least expect it to take place in. Can we do any less? Do we give a love that doesn't count the cost? Doesn't count what's been done against us? I mean, there it goes. We're going to seek to love, and they're not going to love us back. We're going to show God's love, and we're going to have nothing in return at times. But that doesn't mean that we show apathy to them. We start with the love of God. That's the way God did it for us. With Jesus, he started with loving us first while we were his enemies. And that's where it begins. We're going to love without counting the cost, without expecting anything back. We're going to say we forgive and that we love. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what the LWML does. I see the purple and I think of the LWML today too in that example, because for years they have continued to give and give and give. The LWML, and it used to be the ILWML, the International Lutheran. It is the International without having the I in there still. And whether it's locally, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, or in the state of Texas, or in the United States, or around the world, they continue to give in service in ways that doesn't count the cost and doesn't ask, never, ever, ever once in all the contributions and the gifts that have been made, ask for something in return for the gift that was given, recognizing it was, as the Bible says, a gift. Not asking for something in return, not asking for something back. There was a time in our history in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when we were doing a lousy job at missions and in getting the word out in doing international missions. The Lutheran Women's Missionary League at that time took on the role of doing the mission work, of funding missionaries, of getting the word of God around the world. They got it started back up in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when we had fallen flat. We're not doing as great a job as we should do even now. And in some of those cases, still the Lutheran Women's Missionary League is getting the word out. And it's all through mites gathered around and through recognizing that not asking for anything in return, the love was shown and it's continuing to reward others and passing that love along. We're called to do the same. There's a bill for services, wrote these details down, a young mother had received by her 8-year-old child. She found it on the kitchen table that morning as she had come down to make breakfast and put together the boys' lunch for school. The note said, "Mother owes Bradley for running errands 25 cents, for being good 15 cents, for taking music lessons 10 cents. For extras, 5 cents. Total, 55 cents. Mom smiled. And she wrote a note in reply and put it in Bradley's lunch. When Bradley opened his lunch that day, he found a note that said, "Bradley owes mother. For bringing in men to this world, nothing. For nursing him through colds, flu, and pneumonia, nothing. For clothing, shoes, and toys, nothing. For his meals, including this lunch, nothing. Total, nothing." How do we show the love of Christ? Do we expect something in return? Do we do things expecting something else to come back to us? Or do we just love as we're called to love? Do we forgive as we're called to forgive? Do we do like Jesus did and love a world even when it was definitely clear that world was not going to love him back? And though he's extended that love to us, sometimes we're not loving him back as we should. Do we have that Christ-like love, that like-minded love of God that will make his joy complete? It is difficult at times to love our neighbor, but we're called to the task specifically. We're called to love the world that they would know the same salvation that has been given to us. Even though we weren't on Christ's side at the beginning, he loved us the same. will we show a like-minded love to those around? In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.